How you doing, Kyle?
I'm good, Bert. How are you?
I'm excited. We have a live Facebook audience, and I'm struggling to keep the levels on our microphones right. But
hey, you know what live means?
Live means
no room for error.
No room for error.
Nope, can't mess up. Got to be kind and courteous.
So. And we have a great audience. We have Willow Rodriguez, Simone Zunter, Ray Stacy, your own father is watching. We have Neil Kapalorik. We have Rob Winter, Dave Williams, Murray. I apologize. I'm probably killing your name. We have Oil Radomski. We have Michael Gator.
Michael Gator? Who's that?
Matt Lotch from Matt the UK. Wow. It's like 11 o'clock at night over there as we record this.
Susie Kammer, your wife, who's about 30 feet away.
30 or 40 feet away. She's watching. Yeah, that's cool.
Andrew Lax, the newest BK Servo and SAB USA and Switchblade team member.
Yep. Kyle Snyder. We have a lot of people. So Ryan Zano. Joe Mascarella, our own Joe. Thank you, Joe, for all the help. Appreciate it, buddy.
Joe. Good old Joe.
So, this has been cool. It's kind of difficult to plan a live thing and a recording for a podcast at the same time. With that said, the people that are watching live, once again, we appreciate you guys being here. The live feed is going to expire and go away once we're done with this. The whole purpose of this is just to have content for people that are interested in content that has to do with the technical side of RC helicopters. Right, Kyle?
Agreed. Yep. If you have any questions, concerns, ideas, wondering what main rotor gain Bert flies or tail gain I fly or motor, pinion, pulley, any heli questions, send it our way. And
any heli questions.
We will answer it to the best of our ability. But
so let's see if... Let's get into it. Let's see if we have any questions. So before people start asking questions, there was a question, and I'm going to try to find it here, Kyle, but it had to do with how do we balance... Let me see if I can find it, because it's probably really far back. How do we balance the hobby as a hobby and making it our jobs? And for you guys listening, I think I forgot your name. I think Darren asked that question. I forgot who it was. I apologize. But it has something to do with how do you balance your...
It's right here. How do you balance having your hobby as a job? I've done it myself and found it to be just too tough and lost my enjoyment in the hobby. It wasn't until I stopped doing it for work that I was able to start enjoying it again. So how do you keep the enjoyment of the hobby when you're also trying to do it for a living?
So what do you say to that?
First and foremost, you gotta love what you do. And Bert and I both have a pretty incredible passion for flying RC helicopters. I mean, he and I deal with this stuff, 10 hours a day. I get here at 8, leave around 5 or 6 all day long. And more often than not, he and I, after the day's over, we'll go out in the back garden and keep flying. We'll charge some packs and fly his Nitro, fly my 700, his 770, whatever it is, just because we love it. We're always testing new stuff and working on new routines, maneuvers, practicing flying in the backyard, avoiding the trees, avoiding the house,
I think the key is to take time away from it. To have other hobbies. Like Kyle plays the guitar. I like to play keyboard. I like to ride my motorcycle with my wife, Susie, get away. And that kind of breaks the whole monotony or the repetitiveness of doing the hobby over and over again.
You recharge your batteries.
So I think that's the key. Just balance it out with other stuff, disconnect and do other things. All right, next question. Just saw it right here. How much collective pitch do you run?
All of it. I let it bind until the servos explode.
No, seriously, do you measure it?
Sometimes. On a Nitro, I tend to keep an eye on it just to let the engine breathe. But on a Nitro, probably 12.5, 13.
So, Matt, to be honest with you, I personally don't ever measure my collective pitch.
No way.
You know that, Kyle. Way back in the day, I get it to where, for example, on the Goblin helicopter, you can see these lines on the blade grips. And so I set it to the line, and then I just go fly it, and I just get in the hover. I give it full positive pitch, and if it loads too much and it feels like it's too much for my flying. Like if I feel uncomfortable with that much pitch, I drop it. If I feel like I need more, I add more. Mm-hmm. It's a feel kind of thing. Like when I'm done, usually I measure just to see where I'm at. And I normally end up at about 13. That's me. But it varies from helicopter to helicopter. It has nothing to do with flying style. Flying style has nothing to do with flying skill. It has to do 100% with personal preference.
Agreed.
Whatever you prefer. I know incredible pilots that, you know, super top of the line pilots that run very little pitch. And I know pilots that are not even that good that run a lot of pitch. It has right. nothing to do with skill. It has to do with whatever you prefer. You have to play with different pitch settings and see what feels right. best to you.
And like you said, it's different per helicopter. Like on the Fireball, I don't run the same amount of pitch like I would on a 700. It's all varying. And when I first set it up, I don't check it at all. And then I, like, people ask and I'll measure it later. But what I've found is on a 700 electric, it's about 13.5 positive and negative. And then, you know, 570 is about 14.5. And on the nitro, like I said, it's about 12.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah. All right, next question. We'll try to hurry through these because we have a few right now. Yeah. Nathan Walls. Hope this counts as a tech question. I recently bought a set of BK7002 servos. I haven't installed them yet, but they're almost twice as fast as what I have now. Should I adjust any gains after installing or just put them on and see what happens? Kyle, I'll let you answer that one.
It kind of depends on how much faster they are. Because what I've noticed from going from a, not going to say the brand, but from a slower servo to a BK servo, I do have to lower the gain because the BK servo is more responsive. So you don't need as much gain.
But not by much, though.
Not by much. We're not talking drastic. I'm talking 5 points at most.
You can start with the stock settings and correct. It should be fine.
Correct. Yeah. So just, I would almost just say leave it how it is and work from there.
I agree.
It's not going to change a drastic amount. At most, I'd say probably 5 points you're going to need to adjust it. Of course, depending on the flybarless unit, but it's not going to be anything too awful crazy.
Another question for Kyle. Kyle, how often do you rebuild or regrease your head assembly? Mm-hmm. Is there a need to replace the thrust bearings often? 100 flights? Question mark. I know this is based on how hard the helicopter is flown. Thanks.
I really don't have a strict method of changing them. Usually in a hard crash, I'll check every bearing, make sure everything, they're all good. But the biggest thing with thrust bearings is if you start flying it hard and start loading the head, you're going to hear the blades going out of track. And if you know they're in track, then you know something's wrong. And what I've found is if thrust bearings start wearing out, the blades will start going out of track during hard flying. So that is the biggest thing that I notice. If the thrust bearings are going bad, the blades will go out of track.
Yeah. And you know, I normally crash more often than I have to replace the bearings. But I think that every 100 flights is actually a pretty good estimation. That's pretty accurate right there.
Yeah. It's safe. It's always good to pull it apart. If you don't have your head apart very often, hopefully you're not crashing. But if you have it apart, check it over, make sure everything's safe, make sure the balls are still moving freely in the thrust bearings, make sure the radio bearings are moving smooth, all that. And then, of course, check your dampeners because those do wear out. So you definitely want to keep an eye on those.
You get that question from Mitch Arnold.
Yes. Is the Goblin Nitro Sport a lot heavier than the regular?
No, it's not.
It's really not?
No, not at all. There is a weight difference that is quite significant between the regular Black Thunder Goblin and the Goblin Thunder T.
Correct.
The Thunder T is a lot lighter, actually. It's a half a pound lighter, I would say, based on what I found on my own Thunder T. Mm-hmm. But between the Black Thunder Standard Goblin and the Thunder Sport, there's very little difference. You're talking a couple ounces. It's negligible. So
right. In theory, the fiberglass is heavier, but you're never, ever going to notice that in flight, ever.
No, it's so negligible. It's a very slight difference. It's not substantial. So
you're never going to see that. Here's one. Bert, why did you decide to open up a heli shop?
Who's that?
David Gadomski. Bert, why did you decide to open up a heli shop?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I have to answer it quickly because there's a lot of questions here pending. But we started BK Servo as a product 5 years ago. And then we started to distribute Spartan flabberless systems shortly thereafter. Then we had our own brand of blades. And so naturally, we were distributing products. And we were constantly being asked by people like, hey, are you going to ever stock on Scorpion motors? Are you going to stock up on Exnova motors? Are you going to have ESCs? Are you going to, I need a battery. I need, you know, so it was sort of like we had the infrastructure, we had the methods, we had the warehouse, we had the you know, inventory software and the whole logistics behind it. So it kind of made sense to slowly start turning it into a hobby shop. Right. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Just carry more stuff.
Danny Calise, it says, so I have a SAB-280 Fireball and I have a twitch in my tail. How do I correct it? Wow. That's a hard question.
That is broad, because it could be many things, couldn't it?
Yeah, you're going to have to shoot us an email on that one, dude. That could be... I would start by checking, obviously, tail gain, but that's so dumb and obvious that I'm sure you probably checked that already. Thrust bearings in the Fireball could be an issue. I know that there were some slight issues with manufacturing tolerances.
Agreed.
And all it took is for the thrust bearings to be slightly off. You're talking like a tenth of a millimeter, and it was just creating too much friction in the tail. So maybe thrust bearings.
Sure.
Normally it's thrust bearings, or there's, I know that when you build a helicopter, if you are not careful with the little brass insert that's inside that tail pitch slider, as you slide it into the tail shaft, there might be a lot of friction there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that's really free.
Another thing that I just thought of that I've noticed is when people put the tail blade grips together, the first radial bearing that goes inside the grip does not seat properly. So you can tighten down the bolt, but the grip is not fitting all the way onto the hub. So you have one grip that's against the hub, and you have one that's spaced off.
Mm-hmm.
So the grips are not evenly spaced out. Correct. You'll get a twitch from that. So make sure everything's seated and, you know, happy and smooth, and should be good to go. But if you still have issues, let us know, and we'll get you straightened out.
Andrew Lacks, Kyle, what pulley and head speeds do you use on the 570 Sport?
I am flying my 570 Sport on 6S, so I have an 1120 kV Exnova motor, and it has a 23-tooth pulley, and I think the head speed is about 2650, somewhere in there. On Bert's, his is on 12S with a 560 kV, right?
Yeah.
560 yeah. kV, and what do we put on that, 24-tooth pulley?
23
or 24. And yeah. You're spinning about almost 3,000.
It's really high, yeah. 2,800, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. But, yep, about 2,550, 26, somewhere in there on mine. Something like that.
Let's see what else. Oh, we have Aga Mohammed watching. Thank you, Aga, for being around. Appreciate your support, as always.
Yep.
Let's see what we got.
Here's a good one. What have you done with the factory default transmission to avoid nailing down teeth from the main gear? I think what he's referring to is wearing out the pinion. You know, from metal main gear to metal pinion.
Yeah.
Typically, if you're going to run a metal main gear and a metal pinion, you just really want to keep it greased. You always want to keep it wet. Anything metal to metal, it's going to wear out early without grease. So keep it oiled, keep it wet, keep it smooth, and you'll be fine. But
one thing that I use is I went to the local power sports shop, like, you know, where they sell like dirt bikes and ATVs and side-by-sides and jet skis and things like that. And I got chain lube. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a very sticky sort of like grease that comes in the spray form, and it's meant to be used for motorcycle chains.
Sure.
That works awesome. Just apply it every 20 flights or so. And what I like about it is it doesn't sling. It doesn't make a mess. It doesn't, like, it sticks really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it preserves your gear and makes it last longer.
Yep.
Yeah. Paul Andreoli.
Hi, Paul. Tuned in.
Cool. Paul
Andreoli, the best helicopter crasher I've ever met.
Peter Zabel says, Thomas is flying hard. However, he's fighting this problem. The hell is running on 1800 RPM and max pitch is, I don't know what he means. I don't quite understand the question, Peter.
We probably missed another comment
somewhere. Yeah, if you can ask it again, we would appreciate it. What else we got here?
Here's a good one to cover. On a Goblin SAB 630 plus size, is there a need to replace the nylon tail holding bolts often? This is another maintenance question. Thanks. What do you think?
No, I never changed it.
Nope.
No. If the helicopter's been flown and not crashed and not mistreated, in other words, like, you never, like, bumped the helicopter or dropped it or bumped it against the wall or done something to it, you just flown it and landed it, mm-hmm. no problem. I really never worry about it. I think the nylon bolts are stronger than people think.
Right.
Simply because the way the boom is indexed on the on that main plate in the frames, right?
Sure.
So I only check them if I have a really hard landing or a minor crash. Obviously, in a hard crash, you're going to break. But
if you hit the tail on the ground.
Yeah, hit the tail on the ground or something like that, I check them. But other than that, I mean, it doesn't hurt to, but it is, I don't think it's really necessary.
A small golden rule that I learned directly from Enrico, the designer of the Goblin, is that the bolts should only go in one time. I never reuse bolts, so my situation is probably a little different because I'm traveling all the time and pulling the boom off, you know, constantly. Correct.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Yes.
So if you put them in, just leave them in until they break. I don't ever reuse a bolt just because it's nylon. There's a chance maybe it'll stretch. Probably not. I've never had one break in the air ever at all from flying goblins. But if I put them in once, then it's like a single use thing. When I travel, I always use new nylon bolts. They're cheap. It's just not worth the risk of anything potentially happening. So I consider it like a one-use part.
Barry Pope says, I have a weird one. My old blue V-bar on 5.1 upon initializing, it moves up and down a lot of times like it does when you set center every time. Yeah. I turned it on. Any ideas? You might know about that one, Kyle.
From what I remember, that's something that hasn't come up with the recent V-bars. If I remember correctly, that's a sensor failing to initialize. You might have seen it back in the day. It just sits there and goes up and down constantly.
I had that issue for a while. And, like, I think it was a sensor issue. I'm not sure. But a lot of times you would unplug it, plug it back in, and then it would be okay, right?
It was the sensor wasn't booting up properly. It wasn't able to initialize. Yeah. Wasn't happy. If you unplugged it and rebooted, everything was fine.
And it might be related to BEC voltage or the way, like, we see this issue with servos too. Not just BK servos, but any servo. I've seen it with all servo brands. A lot of times your BEC, because it's a switching BEC, it'll start at a low voltage and ramp itself up. So it'll start at like 4, 4.5, ramp itself up to your setting, 6, 7, 8 volts, whatever. If the servo or the flywireless system does not see that voltage quickly enough, there's some sort of timeout setting, I believe, in the setting of the software, then it will fail to initialize.
Correct.
And if you unplug and plug back in, it'll fix the issue. And 99.9% of the time, if you unplug and plug back in and it initializes, or whether it is a flywireless system or a servo initializes, then you're safe to fly and you're perfectly safe. Nothing's going to happen.
Correct.
But it's just a nuisance more than anything, I would say.
I agree. And it's something that I have not seen on any of the new VBOARD Neos or even version 6.0, anything. So I think that's kind of been fixed more or less. The next one that I've seen is about to change my 4530-500 quantum motor on my Urukai. What could be a good option for a 12S setup? Sounds like he's looking for a new motor.
4525, 4530, 50 class motor. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing else. That's all you can do on a 700 class machine.
Right.
I fly 4530, mm-hmm. and I've flown a 4525, mm-hmm. and I have a machine, I think it's my Freedom Edition 700 that has a 50 series.
It's about the size of this cup.
Yeah, it's huge.
Massive.
But honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the power demand, right? They mm-hmm. all, to me, feel really good.
Right.
There's no... They're all very comparable. The difference is negligible.
I agree.
Don't you agree?
I agree.
So you can't go wrong with either option.
4525 has been what I've used for the past, it feels like, forever. Scorpion 4525, now an X-Nova 4525.
Yeah, Scorpion 4525 520, the ultimate motor, or like the X-Nova 4525 560.
Both great.
Or X-Nova 4525 530.
Yeah.
I have that X-Nova 50 series. I forgot, I think it's the Tarek edition.
Yes.
It's awesome. Like, you can't go wrong with either any of those options, Willow. I mean, they're all really solid motors.
Yeah.
What about the Firebolt 280 with the Spartan flyberless? And what is the number you put in the gear ratio, as there is not a 1-to-1 ratio in the menu? And the head speed numbers should I use in the idle up 1 and 2? Thanks, guys. You rock. That's a good question. I apologize, Richard. We can find this for you later, but we've never... I flew the Spartan with the Fireball quite a bit, but I was not using the built-in governor in the Spartan. I was using the governor that is part of the Hobby Wing SAB, yes. The SAB ESC.
Same.
And I highly recommend that you do the same, because it works really well and it does not really require any setup or anything like that. And you're going to be very surprised as to how well it'll work. The ESC and the Fireball and the Mini Comet is a rebranded, per se, Hobby Wing, but it's made to SAB specifications for this unique motor setup.
Yes.
It's a very different motor. It has a very unique KV, very unique number of poles, and they made a really good job. Like, Hobby Wing did a great job at designing this ESC for SAB. So just use it and run the governor mode in it, and it's simpler, it's easier. You don't have to worry about sensors or anything like that. Just do that.
Correct.
Just run it.
It's plug and play. Just fly it, and it'll work day in and day out.
What about Rob?
Rob Winter, where do you see the hobby in 5, 10, or 20 years? With technology moving faster than it did in the last 20 years, the possibilities are exciting. Woo-hoo.
So here's the thing. We need more people to join the hobby.
First and foremost, that would help.
And then we will see great growth.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we don't see a lot of new blood,
mm-hmm.
and I would love to see that. I remember seeing new guys joining our club here at Torches in Florida, USA, all the time. I don't see that happening as often. I see more people leaving than coming, and that's a sad thing.
It is.
So I feel like we need a bigger audience in the hobby, like more pilots and more people interested. But if the companies that are in the hobby industry, whether it is flyberless manufacturers, helicopter manufacturers, servo manufacturers, radio manufacturers, whatever it is, motor ESC manufacturers, see the demand and things get back to where they were. Maybe not. That's kind of asking for a lot to get things to where they were in terms of, like, you know, the popularity and how big things were. But if we get it to a level where everybody's happy and the businesses are being profitable again,
yeah.
I think the possibilities are endless. There's so much to look forward to.
And then another thing is, innovation is driven by competition. So the
Correct.
More that other brands innovate and change and develop, then that'll push, you know, more brands to try and one-up them and do more and all that. Like, we saw a classic case of the Goblin. When the Goblin first came out with its unique design, everyone else tried to do something similar. So the more people innovate, the more new stuff we'll see, and it'll be cool.
So John Fazende, he says, just jumping in, sorry, if it's been asked already, can either of you confirm what the 770 Sport battery tray setup will be? Mm-hmm. Will it be compatible with the Black Thunder battery mounting system? Yes. The original Black Thunder battery mounting system is exactly the same as the 770 Sport.
Correct.
The same as the 700 Sport. There's nothing different about it. The only Goblin that has a different battery configuration is the Goblin 700 Thunder T, which has a quick release battery tray, which is a totally different setup. But the Black Thunder, the Competition, the 770 Sport, the 700 Sport, they're all the same. So yes, it is fully compatible. Nothing different about it.
But if you wanted to upgrade, it fits in all the models. So
correct. If you wanted to upgrade to the 700T mm-hmm. or Thunder T style quick release battery tray, you would have to obviously convert all your helicopters, or have multiple batteries with multiple, you know, battery plates. But it works across the board on any Goblin size.
Agreed. What else we got here?
Hello, Peter Zabo from Europe. Let's see who else. What product is that lubricant? Any kind of lubricant, anything you can find for a chain, like motorcycle chains.
Like a bike chain grease.
Bike chain, yeah.
Teflon grease, synthetic grease works really well.
Some of them are very sticky. They're designed to stick to the actual like chain itself. So once you apply it, it does not make a mess and get all over your canopy and everywhere. So.
Right. Fred, it's been asked before, but I'd love to answer an answer from direct servo manufacturer. What are the main advantages of brushless servos as it relates to helis? I'm going to let you do that one there, Mr. Designer.
I apologize. I missed a question while I'm reading others.
Fred asked, it's been asked before, but I'd love an answer direct from a servo manufacturer. What are the main advantages of brushless servos as it relates to helis?
Hey, Fred. We're going to do an episode very soon about servos, mm-hmm. differences between cordless, brushless, like what to look for, setup tips, do's and don'ts, and things like that. There's no advantages, in my opinion. The advantages is that it's more expensive. No, I mean, in all honesty, technically you get a longer lasting servo with the brushless servo than you do versus a cordless, but unless you're flying, you know, thousands of flights within, you know, a couple, 2-3 year period, it's completely insignificant. I've owned cordless servos, not even my own, but like I used to fly JR servos. I flew the I can't remember. I think 8717. What was mm-hmm. that? 8717 HV servos from JR. Excellent servo. Years ago, it was the fastest servo you could get at the time. And it was cordless. And I had over, I don't know, 1500 flights on them. So the longevity, the life cycle of a cordless servo is always shorter than a brushless. But it's you're talking such an incredible number of flights that it's not even worth it. You can't judge a decision based on which servo to buy based on that, because it's not going to make a significant difference.
From a pilot standpoint, without knowing the intricacies of the servo motor differences, I've found that brushless motors are more precise for like precision flying and more locked in. But the cordless have a more responsive feeling off center. So if you're being to smack, like kind of like what Bert and I do, the cordless servo was really catered to that. But a brushless servo is very precise and locked in.
Yeah, I agree. And Matthew Neely says, why isn't my heli locked in like the pros? How much expo and rate is ideal for the Neo? Matthew, it has to do with your flying style. Really, there's no right or wrong. It's all about how much you practice.
Right.
And, you know, how much time and effort you're willing to put into your flying. I mean, I know I run 30% expo. I think Kyle runs like nothing, 10%.
No, same as you.
30%?
30%.
I know Tarek Alsadi runs zero. I mean,
it's all relative.
It's 100% personal preference. Yep. You know, the lower the expo you run, the more precise you kind of have to be with your sticks if you don't want to let it look sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's just a personal preference.
Yep.
If your heli's not locked in, you know, maybe your gain, your overall main gain is a little bit low. Maybe the blades.
Dampening. What if,
absolutely, the dampening on the head. You want the dampening to be relatively tight if you're running high head speed.
Yep.
You know, tight dampening. Blades, again, make a significant difference. Servos make a significant difference.
Yes.
A lot of people run certain brands of servos that don't center very well. And I don't want to bash any brand because they're all good brands these days.
Correct.
But centering on a servo is more important than speed. It's more important than torque. Center is number one priority. Number two is torque. Number three is speed.
Agreed.
So, you know, your servos could be causing it. You know, you might have low gain. You know, the blades you're running, it's not as stable. Some blades are more stable than others. I mean, it's something we would love to help you with, but it's just such a broad question. It's really hard to answer, like, in a few seconds.
And to answer the second part, expo and rate. Rate on V-bar is agility, and I run 30 expo and about 124 agility. And I think you might be 126 agility, but it's...
126 agility, yeah.
Very similar.
We're about the same. It depends on the heli, but yeah.
Yeah. George, the new 770 Sport, will most of the parts work on the Generation 1 770 Goblin? They will.
Yes.
But they're not the same material or color.
They're not the same, correct.
Yeah. So the new 770 Sport has fiberglass frames versus
carbon fiber.
And the head parts are the same, but they're black.
I think there might be a slight difference in the frames. We can't really tell you, George, for a fact that the frames are exactly the same. We can find out for you. You can shoot us an email or reach us out on Facebook if you hit us up at on our website or sabusa.com, SAB Goblin USA Facebook. We can, double check and make sure. But like Kyle said, different anodizing collar. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the tail is the three-bladed tail on the 770 Sport instead of a two-bladed tail. The landing gears, the nice flat landing gear instead of like the old style. But I believe every other part will fit. They're totally interchangeable. They're just different colors, like Kyle said. Yep. So,
and the frame should be physically the same, but the whole pattern might be different. So we'll check into that and update you guys later on.
Sherman Martin, what is better for a solid tail, high or low governor gain? I don't quite understand what that means.
If you want your tail to be locked in, do you want a higher gain or a lower gain on the governor? I personally do not tune the governor at all.
No, I never do either.
Settings. No. Stock settings for V-bar and Hobbywing I've found to be really solid. I haven't really flown other governors recently, so I can't comment on that. But if your governor gain's too high, you're probably going to see a really fast tail wag. If it's too low, it might blow out. But like I said, I don't tune it. Whatever stock settings are, that's what I fly. Just keep it real simple.
Here we go. Rob Winter is asking price on the jets. We don't know yet, Rob. They will disclose that hopefully in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. So on the hangout about we can bring in the younger generation of kids into the hobby. I think demos at local fields with some pro pilots that volunteer their time to show the kids and their parents how great the hobby is could help social media advertising of such events. Local community organizations might help. I agree. Get the kids off video games. I couldn't agree more. Thanks for the feedback, Rob. Russell Bear is watching. Thank you, Russell. Let's see. Hey Hal, how you doing? Thanks for watching. When I come to your club, this is Simone. When I come to your club, we do a let a girl teach you how to fly. You will see how many will come and join. I agree on that one. No Thank problem. You, Simone. You have to come to her club, no doubt.
Yep.
No, just joking. She said, no way, it's not a joke. We're taking this seriously.
Come teach us. We need to learn.
Let's see here. Peter is complaining about drones. Yes, Peter, we know. Not easy. Is Kyle Stacy coming to RCHN? Hopefully Bert can come also. I don't know yet. I know that Kyle wants to go and hang with a friend of his that is making a trip all over from across the pond.
Yes.
So I don't know. We'll see. Kyle might come. I'm not sure that I can, but maybe we both go. I think it would be fun. It would be fun. West Coast is always fun. What are you laughing about? What else you got there?
Nothing. All right. Hell, back to seriousness. What is the best method for pulling the tail belt tight on the 700? Well, my tip is something that I learned from the guy who's sitting across from me. Do you remember the tip?
Which one?
One side at a time. So you pull on one side, tighten it up. Pull on the other side, tighten it up.
Yeah.
You wiggle its way back until it's tight. Because if you just pull straight back.
No, it's very difficult. You can't.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
And then once you get it to where you feel like you have the tension you want, then you spin the rotor head to the right, and then you spin it to the left.
Correct.
And you want the tail belt to like shift from one side to the other side on your tail pulley.
Yeah.
And that kind of gives you a pretty good idea that you're quite center. It might not be perfect, but it's good enough.
Just get it close.
Yeah. And we've never had an issue, even if it's slightly offset, slightly cocked or whatever. It's not a big deal.
And then for tension, I don't know. I just keep it real tight. I don't really have a real defined way of figuring it out. But
Frank is asking, what are your suggestions for growing the hobby? We got so many more questions to go through. That's such a elaborate question. There's so many things we could be doing.
Yeah. I don't know. Just keep pushing. Try and help new people. People who are trying to learn and trying to find the right resources, just help them out. I mean, I know we kind of talk trash on clones, but if they're flying a clone, just help them.
Just help them and like show them a helicopter. I think the best thing we can do to grow the helicopter hobby is to talk about it. Show people videos. Just it's contagious, right? Yeah. If we talk to our buddies or strangers or people about what we do, you know, out of 100 people we talk to, like 10 will like 5 or 10 will join the hobby, right?
Sure.
Gregory says, what is the future of Nitro? I hate to tell you, Gregory, but as much as I really like, people say that I don't like Nitro, I really do love Nitro, but the problem with Nitro is just getting Nitro in itself, like the actual Nitro liquid, the fuel, is not easy, and it's very expensive in a lot of parts of the world, so I just don't think that Nitro has a future in this. It'll always be around. It's not going to go away, but I don't think it's going to ever come back to the point where it was in the past. Batteries keep getting cheaper and cheaper. Technology keeps advancing on batteries. It's very difficult to get Nitro back to where it was, because it technically makes no sense for people to spend upwards of $50 or even $100 a gallon of Nitro, right?
And Nitro is harder to figure out and work. Like electric, I don't mean this in any bad way, but electric's pretty easy. I mean, you just solder your battery, solder your ESC and motor, set the gear ratio and go fly. But with Nitro, you got to learn how to tune it and listen to it and maintain it, change bearings, change a ring, you know, fuel filters, and all. So it's a lot more to keep up with the Nitro, and it's quite a steep learning curve, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Let's see here. Peter Zabel comes back and asks if WD-40. Now, WD-40 works, but you have to apply it almost every other flight, every one or two flights.
Right.
Because it goes away very fast.
Right.
So you want something that sticks. And with that said, James Van Hook says, Chainwax is the brand you're wanting. Mm. That's not the brand I use, James. I forgot what the brand was. It's a blue bottle. If Gator is watching, he would know. But I'm sure that works the same way. It's a sticky, very thick and sticky, sort of like liquid. It almost feels like an oil, not a grease. But once it sticks and you let it sit, it hardens and it truly sticks to the gear.
Right.
Yeah. Have you heard about the Spirit? Yes, we have. Never tried it.
Nope.
I heard really good things about it. I've heard some mixed reviews. I think it's a solid system. I can't say anything bad about it, but I've personally never tried it.
When are you guys coming to California Fun Fly? Well,
what Fun Fly in California?
What's out there? Yeah. Give us a list.
We're coming to, more than likely, we're going to be at the Heli Rodeo in Arizona, but yes. But I don't know about California.
I don't know. West Coast is fun. We got to get out there more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hello, Mr. Joe Reyes. Let's see.
Justin Pucci. Justin, when are you coming on the show?
Justin, you owe us the show.
That's
dude.
Right.
You have to be here.
It's time to step up.
If you have time to watch this, you have time to be a guest.
Okay. Andy Panicilio, probably need to have one Turbine 770 just for the fun of it. You know, he's got a point.
Yeah, he's got a point. I'm getting one of those Heartlocks turbine planes. I love that thing.
Andrew Lex, will there be a color scheme on the Kraken or will it stay black? Yes, there will be a color scheme. The black was just done quickly just for the open day event. And it kind of gives it a mysterious look, but there will definitely be a color scheme.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a full-color helicopter. The whole point of that quote-unquote scheme was just to have something to show.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's not by any means final. In fact, not to say anything negative, but I would have shown that helicopter a month before release, but that helicopter was shown way ahead of its time.
Way ahead.
It's not even been tested yet. The testing is beginning right now.
Correct. So if you guys are thinking about getting a kit, you can get it now. I mean, this thing is not going to be out for a while. So don't let that hold you back from getting yourself any kit. Goblin, Align, whatever it is, don't let that hold you back.
What else we got? We need to start wrapping this up. I think this is going to be the longest episode we've ever done.
I just saw a quick one from my dad that says, what color scheme will let me fly like Kyle or Bert? Your Fireball that I got you for Christmas there, big guy.
Have you ever flown that, buddy?
Yeah. I know it's set up. It's ready. He built it. So he just needs to get out there and fly it.
All right, Kyle. I think we went way over time on the episode. That doesn't mean we're going to end the live session yet, but I think we need to wrap up the actual podcast episode.
I agree. We're stretching it a little longer than we normally do.
I know. We need to... I, I don't think it's a good idea to stretch this to like 2 or 3 hours. The whole goal of this thing is to be short, right?
Real quick, Gator just texted us. The gear lube is PJ1.
PJ1 is PJ1 the gear lube.
PJ1 is the gear lube. Yep. Anyways.
All right, let's wrap the episode. So we have some interesting guests coming in the next few weeks. Yeah. And for you guys watching live, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back to you. But we have some good guests.
It's going to be good.
Helicopter manufacturer, we have a podcast expert dumb. We have a social media expert.
Yeah,
we have a lot of cool stuff, so stay tuned. We're going to talk more about airplanes as well for the SAB aircraft coming out soon.
Yep.
We have an episode about servo setup and servo maintenance and do's and don'ts and of servos. We have an episode about how Cal Stacy became the number one pilot in the world.
Shut up.
We have an episode about RCHN Funfly and who to go meet with and what hotel to book and who to spend the night with. It's awesome. I love it. It's great. So thank you guys for watching.
You are unbearable some days.
Kyle, where can you be reached at?
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
Nice.
And you?
Yeah, I can be reached at facebook.com/BertRC, BERTRC.
Yep.
So thank you guys for listening.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week, or talk to you next week, or you can hear us next week.
Yeah.
See ya.